الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، today I want to remind myself and you of two other issues with regard to tazkiyah wa tarbiyah, and they both of them relate to the seeking of knowledge, the seeking of Islamic knowledge. Why do we learn, and what happens to us when we learn? And these two issues are the issues which are very, very important, because they relate to the niyyah with which we seek knowledge. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahmatullahi said, do not seek knowledge for three reasons. Do not seek knowledge for three reasons. One is to argue with the fuqaha, is to argue with the ulama. Don't learn something for that purpose, that you will go and try to checkmate this sheikh or that sheikh. That is not the reason for learning. So he said, do not learn knowledge for three reasons. One is to argue with the fuqaha. And the second one is to look good before the fools, before the sufaha, before people who are ignorant. So if you know something a little bit, and today may Allah forgive us, this is our state. The people who we look up to and we say and we call that so-and-so is such a big sheikh, he's not a big sheikh. If we look at that person, I always say this, many people tell me, they say, oh, you are a great scholar. I say, you tell me I'm a great scholar, that only shows that you do not know what is a great scholar. I apologize for being rude. I'm not being rude, but just I'm telling you, if you look at a donkey and say this is an elephant, it means that you have never seen an elephant, right? So if you look at me and you say I'm a great sheikh, then it is like looking at a donkey and saying this is an elephant. That means you have never seen an elephant. So, to look good before people who know less than you. And the third reason for not seeking knowledge is to attract the attention of people towards yourself. For self-promotion, for popularity, for so many YouTube hits or so many majalis, how many people are coming to my jalsa, how many people are coming to my khutbah, how many murids do I have? La hawla quwwata illa billah. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahmatullahi said, do not seek knowledge for these three reasons, to argue with the fuqaha, to look good before people who are ignorant, and to draw the attention of people towards yourself. Three reasons why we should not seek knowledge. So why should we seek knowledge? For one reason only, and that is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khalas. There is no other reason to seek knowledge. The only reason to seek knowledge is to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by pleasing Him. There is only one way of getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is by pleasing Him. You cannot get close to Allah by angering Him. So we seek knowledge in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we seek knowledge for this reason, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then open the doors. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. In Surah Ankabut, Allah said, the one who makes jihad in my path, the one who struggles in my path, the one who tries to get close to me, I will open the doors for him. I will open the subul, the plural of sabil, I will open the roads and the pathways which lead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, we seek knowledge only for one reason, and that is to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And along with the same issue comes the issue of humility and humbleness. The humility and humbleness, which again, if you seek knowledge for the reasons that Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah said, do not seek knowledge. If you seek knowledge for those reasons, then arrogance automatically comes in. And self-promotion automatically comes in. But if you seek knowledge only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then humility comes in. And that is a very important, that's the second aspect, which is to be humble. And humility again has to come from inside. It's not pretending to be humble. Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah said, the one who says, in my humble opinion, this is a simple thing which many of us say, in my humble opinion. Ibn Taymiyyah said, the one who says, in my humble opinion, is not being humble. If you think about it, he said, the one who says, in my humble opinion, is not being humble. So you just say whatever it is. I mean, let people decide, humble opinion or what. If you say, in my humble opinion, it means that you are now trying to draw attention to the people to say, even a great man like me, I am saying this, therefore it is in my humble opinion. So let us remember this. The, in my humble opinion, is a sign of pretense. So pretending to be something which you are not. So therefore, humility, genuine humility, really and seriously looking at yourself. And that's why it's a very good idea in terms of tarbiyah. I always advise people, I say, read the biographies of people. Read the biographies. Biographies are one of the most fantastic things to read, to learn from, because they are real people, you know, actual human beings who lived, not reading some fuzzy story. So read biographies of great scholars, read biographies of people, even if they are not Muslim scholars, read the biographies of people who have done something remarkable in this world. I just completed reading the whole biography of Julius Caesar. It's a set of 5 books. I finished all 5 books in 1 month. Each book is 500 pages. Plus all my regular. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in time. So I'm just saying that it's very important for us to, and before that I finished reading the biography of Genghis Khan. And our 3 of his generations. So point I'm making is that reading biographies is a very good thing. And obviously read biographies of great scholars. For example, and the reason I'm saying that is because it will make you humble. It puts you in perspective, right? If you take, for example, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayh, you know, what kind of a man he was, what kind of a person, what did he write, how did he face the world, what sort of knowledge did Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayh have? You know, there's a famous story, Imam Ghazali and his brother Ahmad. And the story is that his brother, who was older, who was elder to him, his brother did not, one day his brother was praying, Imam Ghazali was leading Salah, and his brother was praying behind him, and in the middle of Salah he left and walked off. So Imam Ghazali was very offended, and he said, how can you leave in the middle of Salah and go away, you know, what happened to this thing? So his brother said, your khushu is not there, you are thinking of something else. So Imam Ghazali complained to his mother, he said, my brother is doing this, he is not praying behind me. And he is, walking away. So the mother called him, and she said, what's the matter? Why did you not pray behind your brother? So his brother said, he is not concentrating on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His mind is somewhere else when he's leading salah. So I felt that my salah behind him is not valid. Right? I'm not talking fiqh here. I'm talking about something beyond this. So the mother asked Imam Ghazali, she said, is it true? So Imam Ghazali said, yes, while I was praying, I thought of a particular masala, and that solution came to me. So that was, my mind was there at that time. Now think about this. 2 sons. One son who is thinking of a masala of fiqh while he is reading salah. He is not thinking of his shop or something, no. The other one, Allah has given him some insight where he is able to sense that in the imam. Right? So what should the mother say? The mother should say, MashaAllah, I've got 2 awliya, my sons. You know what the mother said? The mother said, both of you get out of here. She said, both of you get out of here. She said, you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you are supposed to concentrate in salah. One is thinking about a masala of fiqh, the other one is worried about what his brother is thinking. He said, you should be ashamed of yourselves. He said, you should be ashamed of yourselves. He said, go away from here. This is tarbiyah. This is tarbiyah. If all the ilm in the world cannot get you khushu in salah, that ilm is worthless. And this is what has happened today to our masajid, and there is no spirituality in the masjid. There is no ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the masjid. Masajids have become places of conflict and fighting and this and that and, you know, this committee and that committee and somebody is president of the committee and, you know, court cases. Shame, we should be ashamed of us. But why? Because there is no, the ikhlas of the niyyah is not there. The person does not come to the masjid to worship Allah. He comes to the masjid to show that he is boss. He comes to the masjid to show that this is my masjid. How can it be your masjid, boss? The masjid is the house of Allah. Who are you? Who are you? How can it be your masjid? The masjid is the house of Allah. But this is what we have done. Why? Because the knowledge, the reason we seek knowledge is for all sorts of other things other than the reason why we should, which is to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why I want to remind myself and you, let us be clear on this. We seek knowledge only and only to please Allah. Genuine humility. Compare yourself to other people who have done, who had the same 24 hours in a day, but their 24 hours they did much more with it than what we do. They lived the same 60, 70 years in whatever years, number of years in their lives, but those 50, 60, 70 years changed the world. And in our 50, 60, 70 years, we can't even change ourselves. One person. Forget about changing the world. We cannot even change ourselves. What life is that? What life is that? That's like the life of an animal. It's like the life of a cow or a goat or something. We can't even change ourselves. We cannot even change our own family, our own environment in the home. And we like to think of ourselves, oh, mashallah, you know, I'm such a big man, I'm this, I'm that, and so on. So let us be very clear, get humility into our lives, ensure that we seek knowledge only and only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to accumulate degrees, not to accumulate books, not to accumulate, list of courses that I attended here and there. All that knowledge which we seek, which does not please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and which leads to arrogance in ourselves becomes a hujjat against us. Let us be very clear about this. Seeking knowledge for other reasons, the knowledge then becomes a problem for us. Now that does not mean we don't seek knowledge, we remain ignorant. No. We learn and we learn with the right intention and then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us barakah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to His noor. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the doors of hidayat for us and to make that path easy for us. And we remember the hadith of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam where he said that when a person goes in the path of deen to seek knowledge, the malaika spread their wings under his feet and he walks on the wings of the malaika. And the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, including and right up to the fish in the sea, they make dua for that person. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us such people for whom his entire makhluk will make dua when we seek knowledge. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us and to be pleased with us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.